listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, Shy John. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, 2013. At the top of the news this morning, I'm not sure if this is good news or not so good news. I leave it to your interpretation. This is from Yahoo Finance. Largest gains for home prices in 7 years. Forget bubble talk for now, by Michael Santoli. The fact that the housing market is improving is no longer up for debate. The argument now is over the character of the recovery and whether the influence of home speculators is a danger. The S&P Case-Shiller House Price Index of 20 big metropolitan areas rose a seasonally adjusted 1.1% in March from February, the largest monthly gain since April 2006, and was up 10.9% from a year earlier. Existing home sales have been higher than year-earlier levels for 22 straight months. They recently reached their highest monthly level since government home buyer tax incentives expired in November 2009. Home prices are being flattered by a strong supply-demand mismatch. New house construction plunged far below normal levels in the deep housing bust as pent-up demand for single-family dwellings built up amid record low mortgage rates, foreclosure-plagued markets, and weak labor conditions. Builders in some markets report being able almost to name their price on newly constructed houses. The pipeline of available supply is also badly clogged. Even with the recent price gains, a quarter of U.S. homeowners remained underwater in the first quarter. Owing more on their mortgages than their homes are worth, according to real estate tracker Zillow Incorporated. An additional 18% have low enough home equity that they wouldn't have enough for a down payment on another house if they sold, suggesting that more than 40% of homeowners are virtually trapped in their houses. So is that good news or bad? Given this backdrop, speculative house flipping activity has surged back, reminding some observers of the sort of reckless behavior that marked the hazardous excesses of the housing bubble that they created in 2006. As the Wall Street Journal notes, the number of homes in California this year that were bought and sold within 6 months, a proxy for flipping volume, reached the highest level since 2005. Home prices in the Bay Area are up more than 20% on average over the last year, stoking speculative fires. Ads for house flipping seminars are all over the radio and TV. On Wall Street, meantime, housing-related stocks are among the hottest leaders of the market's run to new highs this year. This pickup in fast-money house trading, fueled by ultra-cheap credit, furnished by the Federal Reserve and government-backed lenders, certainly raises fair questions about whether the rebound in housing is helping the broad public, whose incomes have been stagnant amid the boom in investment markets and high-end consumption. Yet it's far too soon to call this pattern a rerun of the housing bubble that played such a central role in the financial crisis and deep recession of 2008 and 2009. I would say beware. For one thing, the absolute level of prices remains far below its peak. So, even after the gains of the past year, the S&P Case-Shiller Index remains nearly 30% below its peak in mid-2006. Well, that was the bubble. And as noted, there are several unusual factors restraining the inventory of homes for sale, creating an energetic rush for available properties in the short term. Yeah, we Americans, we're short-term people, aren't we? Despite the wary talk of bubble risk creeping back into residential real estate, Only continued increases in prices will stabilize housing supply and demand at a healthy level while refreshing consumer buying power broadly. As prices rise, more owners will get their heads above water, we can hope, making it financially feasible for them to list their houses and buy another one. Right. And as noted in the attached video, houses are the main collateral for consumers in the U.S. economy. Don't have to watch the video. As their value rises, debt becomes more manageable and spending picks up. The cycle, in this way, is constructive for the overall economy until and unless it reaches a dangerous extreme, and we're not there yet. Yeah, right. Okay, and now on to the Harper's Weekly Review, dated May 28, 2013. President Barack Obama declared in a speech at the National Defense University that the United States must end the boundless global war on terror begun after the attacks of September 11, 2001. Obama called on Congress to revise and ultimately repeal the authorization of force it granted after 9/11, lifted a moratorium on transferring prisoners to Yemen from the U.S. detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, and promised new limitations on drone strikes, which Attorney General Eric Holder formally admitted in a letter to Congress that had included the targeted killings of four American citizens abroad. "This war, like all wars, must end," said Obama. "It is almost like he's saying, 'Stop me before I kill again,'" said Fox News analyst Britt Hume. The president also visited Moore, Oklahoma, to survey damage caused by a tornado, the most destructive of 76, touching down in 10 states across 3 days, that killed 24 people and injured 377, and laid a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery in observance of Memorial Day. "God has a plan, but we are an instrument of His will," said Obama in Moore. "If I knew the story of every individual who went through here," said an army mortician, "I would probably be in a padded cell." In Baghdad, at least 70 people died in a series of bombings in Shia neighborhoods, and a gunman killed 12 people at a brothel. A French soldier on patrol in La Défense, a business district west of Paris, was stabbed in the throat by a suspected Muslim extremist. And an off-duty British soldier was killed outside London's Royal Artillery Barracks by two men with machetes. Reports of Islamophobic hate crimes rose tenfold in the United Kingdom, and far-right demonstrators in Newcastle carried signs reading "Taliban Hunting Club" and chanted "R.I.P. Lee Rigby." Pakistan ordered its civil servants to go sockless. What? Rioters in Stockholm's northern suburb set fire to cars and buildings and threw stones at police following the shooting by officers of an elderly immigrant accused of wielding a machete in public. "Deep divisions in Swedish society can't be bridged," said the leader of the anti-immigrant Swedish Democratic Party, "by the police grilling sausages with youths." A Guatemalan court overturned the genocide conviction of former dictator José Efrén Ríos Montt, and Japan's cabinet denied that Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has avoided moving into his official residence because he believes it to be haunted. Three sisters whose mother had just died of breast cancer were ejected from a mall in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, for refusing to remove hats, reading, screw cancer as they shopped for funeral dresses. Authorities in southern China ordered a recall of rice contaminated with cadmium. Canadians were complaining that their polymer banknotes smelled faintly of maple, and European researchers identified the pathogen that caused the Irish potato famine. Apple CEO Tim Cook appeared before a Senate committee to answer questions raised by a government report showing that his company used such accounting maneuvers as the Double Irish to avoid paying taxes on at least $74 billion in profits since 2009. "We love the iPhone and the iPad," said Senator Carl Levin, Democrat, Michigan. "You have to be a pretty smart guy and a pretty tough guy," said Senator John McCain, Republican, Arizona. "I say that in a complimentary way." Half the city council of Ypsilanti, Michigan, abstained from a vote on a resolution to ban abstentions. The power went out in boring Oregon. On Mars, NASA's Curiosity rover pierced a veiny rock named Cumberland. Jupiter, Mercury, and Venus converged to form a rare glowing triangle in the western sky. A male Iago sparrow mounted his male companion shortly after their ship docked in the Netherlands to complete the species' maiden voyage to Europe from Cape Verde. And the Boy Scouts of America ended its ban on openly gay scouts, but left in place its ban on openly gay scoutmasters. A Bosnian shepherd named Blazo Gurkovic choked with one hand a brown bear that had clutched his other hand in a meadow. Biologists listed among 2012's top 10 new species a littoral shrub that flowers magenta, the no to the Minel snake, and the blue-bellied Lesula monkey. A veterinarian punctured the belly of a Cornish hedgehog suffering from balloon syndrome, and conservationists in Somerset Moors placed under round-the-clock guard the egg of a common crane. "It is absolutely momentous," said a wildlife manager, "to see this egg laid at Slimbridge, the day after an Englishman from Stockton-on-Tees received his final treatment for a broken arm suffered 6 years ago. He tripped and broke it again." A University of New Hampshire instructor who worked after getting his PhD as a Subway sandwich maker proved a key component of one of the oldest problems in pure mathematics, the twin prime conjecture, by building on an advancement to the sieve of Eratosthenes. And a boy registered for school in the Philippines under the name Ratziel Timshel Ismail Zerubbabel Zabud Zimri Pike Blavatsky Philo Judaeus Polydorus Isurinus Moriah Naglara Rakuski Kuthumi Krishnamurti Ashram Jaram Akasha Aum Ultimus Rufinorum Janksi, Janko, Diamond, Huziv, Zane, Zeke, Wakeman, Y, Mo, Tu, Teletai, Chonkma, Nesara, Merkava, Nigel, Seven, Morningstar, A, San Juan, the 302nd. "My wife did," said the boy's father, "have reservations." I wonder. This article by Jeremy Keene. And once again, we have reached the tortured end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. Ladies and gentlemen, be good to each other in the coming week, and please stay out of the news.